Hey friend, I'm Tanisha Sela, and you're listening to the Life of an Empath podcast. I'm an empath, Akashic Records reader, and intuitive guide. I'm exactly what you would expect a modern day mystic to be. I meditate, I'm a crystal lover, sporadic yogi, and I believe in love and universal goodness. I help high-level creatives, empaths, and teams achieve emotional clarity and allow them to utilize intuition as business strategy. On this podcast, I share stories about my personal spiritual journey, the lessons that I'm learning through my clients, and life as a wife and mom of two toddlers. Welcome to my life. Let's get started. Today, I want to share with you a critical part of my journey. This is the part where I could no longer run from anything. Not the unfortunate circumstances I was creating in my life, nor my intuitive gifts. This was the beginning of the rumbling effect. The rumbling effect is the part of the journey where you are awake fully, but you just haven't taken any action yet. The winter of 2012, I was in my own version of the sunken place. I had recently moved across the country from Atlanta to DC to be with someone that probably wasn't worth acknowledging in a Walmart parking lot in passing. But that was Tanisha then, not now. Tanisha then did a lot of things on a whim, and moving up to DC was one of them. Not quite 2 months into the move, we broke up. And on Thanksgiving Day, at that, out of almost nowhere and in one death stroke, I was unpartnered and sort of homeless. Not in the literal sense, but I wasn't going to stay where I obviously wasn't desired. But this empath has always been naturally resourceful. So finding a place to live that I could lick my little wounds may have seemed like a tall order, but I had to get it together and fast to keep my new job and not have to run back to Atlanta looking like every bit of the fool I had been to follow my ex in the first place. Months later, I was settling into my new place, but still feeling like the world was spinning and I was standing still. That's about the time I decided I would reach out to a psychic. I mean, what did I have to lose? I had already deduced that those little orange traffic cones had my love life completely surrounded. It wasn't solely because of my recent breakup either. I could clearly see in the moment, sitting outside of my car, of my job in snowy Alexandria, Virginia, that I had a large role in attracting the same kind of person over and over, and it had to stop. I was tired of wondering if it was simply that I had stupid tattooed on my forehead, or if I was taking some unknown enjoyment out of getting the short end of the stick in these relationships. Like, that was the lucid part of my mind, wanting to get to the bottom of things. But since telling your story is about being fully transparent, I also wanted to know if me and my ex were going to get back together. I know that part I'm almost ashamed to admit because he literally did me so dirty in so many ways that it's unspeakable, but it's real. So I spoke to a friend about contacting a psychic. As a fairly open-minded person, she agreed it wasn't a bad idea or completely unheard of for me. If you remember, I was already naturally drawn to this world of perceived weirdos. So again, what did I have to lose? I had already experienced more paranormal things that I could count or distinctly remember. But here's the thing to keep in mind. I had already given predictions and had many an empathic episode. However, this is technically before my knowledge of the term empath, nor the association of me being in the realm of what you would consider a psychic. And moving forward with my desire to connect with a psychic, I did what any person would do in my situation. I Googled it. Before I knew it, I found myself on a phone session with Claire. She was local to Alexandria and had a lunchtime session quickly enough that worked for me. Eager to hear the fate of my situationship with the ex, that was my first question. If I am honest, that was my only question. The only other possible questions would be to confirm my suspicions of him cheating all along or if he had already moved on. But my questions would have to wait. Claire had her own revelation and direction for this call, as I would soon discover. She said almost immediately, "You know you're very psychic. In that moment, I didn't completely accept or reject what she was saying because I knew what she meant. She was talking about the feelings I always had about things. She was talking about that different part of myself that I kind of kept to myself. So I kind of reluctantly agreed because I didn't want to get stuck on that. I wanted to get the answer to my real questions, and being agreeable did the trick because we moved on and I got my answers. Unfortunately, my ex and I weren't meant to be, but we would be in contact with each other, so it would be a period of untangling. I appreciated her candidness, but there was something about her style that I knew wasn't for me. We spoke once more, but I moved on after that. Now, I can't exactly say what it was about Claire that I couldn't get with, but after connecting with Beth, I understood. I needed someone I felt more connected to. When I Googled her, I saw that she was in an area about 25 minutes from where I grew up. Imagine that! That natural connection that instantly happened with Beth helped me to trust her more. It was something about Beth's southern drawl that felt like home, and for someone that felt like a fish out of water in the DMV, Beth was like a hot cup of cocoa in the frigid Virginia air the year we met. I didn't know it yet, but the call with Beth was about to change everything. The first time I spoke with Beth, I had no clue what to expect. It's probably the same bouts of jitters my clients have during their first session. I know, girl, it's a whole situation. But this also wasn't my first psychic rodeo. I had spoken to Claire and I wasn't afraid, just anxious. The minute she called me and said, "Hey," the way only a Southern woman would, I immediately felt my body relax. She went about talking as if we'd known each other for years. I didn't understand at the time, but when someone reads your energy, they do feel like they know you. Your energy feels familiar. And for someone that's an energy reader, I can tell you that it happens naturally. It starts the moment someone schedules a session or sends me an email. I understand now she pretty well knew my struggle, and me asking the questions was just a formality. Surprisingly, the call started off just about the same way it did with Claire. After we exchanged kind pleasantries, she said, "You know, you're a very strong empath." Empath? I said it in my head and paused for a moment. I had never heard it before, but I knew without a doubt that this word was probably a better term to describe the feelings I would get about things. And whatever it meant, I was certain it was better than quote unquote psychic to describe me, as Claire had stated with so much ease. But again, I didn't care about that. I'm not even sure I pressed her further about what it meant, though I remember her casual and succinct explanation. What I called and signed up for was to know more about my relationships and, at this point, what I was doing to make them so toxic. Beth went more in depth about me and the ex than Claire had done. I now know it was easier for her to connect not only because we were two empaths in the company of each other, but also because we did connect so easily and had so many things in common since we grew up in the same area. Gosh, I thought, how would my life have played out for the better sooner if I had looked for guidance earlier in life? What if I hadn't stood like an emotional wallflower and just kept moving through toxic relationships hoping for them to get better? I enjoyed the session with Beth. Before I knew it, we were well over an hour in, and I was late returning back from my lunch break at work. I didn't care. I felt better, and I could see light on my situation for the first time in a long time, even with the knowledge that the ex and I were not to be. I guess Claire had been right all along. After the initial session with Beth, I scheduled another session about a month or so later. The first time had been so good, I wanted to tell her about the new developments and get her insight. It was time to go beyond just what was going on in my relationship, but also to see if I could get a general sense of clarity about my life, and she obliged. After that, I typically spoke with her every couple of weeks, and with every session, I was emerging from the fog that I had been in with the move to DC, my ex, and my job. It was Beth that really had me considering my sole purpose, not just what getting ahead in life could look like with lots of hard work, but my sole purpose, and that was the game changer. To consider sole purpose was about to change how I moved in the world. About that time, I made my first vision board. If you attended my masterclass in Portland last year, you know all about this. That was the vision board I put my favorite quote on. The quote that helped me get to where I am right now in this moment, recording my story for you. For those who weren't at the masterclass, here's the quote. Your next level begins where your comfort level ends. More than anything else that I pinned to my vision board, that quote told me that my vision would not even begin until I got out of fear. Fear of being alone in a new city, fear of making more mistakes, fear of not getting what I wanted out of life, fear, fear, and more fear. That vision board gave me a lot to think about, but I didn't obsess over getting those things. I knew that whatever was ahead would be anchored in the guidance I was receiving from Beth. And before I knew it, Beth was helping me overcome a fear I hadn't really even considered. Because ever since the very first session, she had been trying to convince me that I did have natural psychic ability. I would listen, but also put her off about leaning into that aspect of myself. I didn't quite know what I was running from. In some ways, I didn't want to have one more thing to deal with, but also, I wasn't sure what leaning in would mean or open up for me. If I was afraid, I didn't quite know what the exact fear was. And don't you know that was the very thought that led me to leaning in? So at the end of one of our sessions, she asked me if I wanted to schedule another in a couple of weeks, and I agreed, but probably a little too quickly because she said, next time we'll practice with your gifts. Practice with my gifts? I was utterly bamboozled. What in the world did she think I was going to do with my quote-unquote feelings? But as the days went on, I started to look forward to it. It was something for me to focus on and get excited about. Not to mention, Beth saw a part of me that either no one else could see or acknowledge if they did. So finally, the time came for my session. Interesting how she scheduled that appointment for a day she knew I'd be off work. Beth was something else. That morning, I cleaned my entire space and I lit a candle before she called. I didn't even know what I was doing, but I knew everything would be better without all of my clothes all over the floor. So she said, "You ready? Let's play." I was like, "Beth, nothing is going to happen. I don't know what you think I'm going to see, but I lit a candle and I guess I'm ready." She said, "Don't worry about anything. I just want you to let me show you what you can do." I said, "Okay." Beth said very calmly and slowly, "Close your eyes and take a deep breath. And when you open your eyes again, I want you to stare at the flame of the candle and tell me exactly what you see." Thank you so much for listening to this season of the Life of an Empath podcast. You can check out my website at lifeofanempath.com to schedule your first intuitive session with me. You can also read my blog and discover other service offerings that may be relevant to you individually or for your business or organizations. Please follow me at _lifeofanempath_ on Instagram to stay current on my upcoming clarity challenges and masterclasses. And if you've enjoyed listening to the Life of an Empath podcast so far, I would love for you to subscribe, rate, and give me a review on iTunes. Until next season, friend, take care.